But what I want to talk about this morning is what it is that we're going to need to fight the battle, to avoid the temptation, and to be victorious over that. And as I said before, God's provided for what we need over temptation. There is no temptation that's overtaken you. But God is faithful, God is able, and He will use some of these things. So let me just, I'm going to go through the pieces of the armor this morning. The helmet of salvation. Paul here talks about putting on the helmet of salvation. And that thing that we have from God, we have His salvation. It's been bought and paid for on the cross with the blood of Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." If we want to, putting on the whole armor, this is a little bit hard to explain sometimes. We used to do this, maybe I'll explain it in kind of a different way. Some years ago, there was a church that we went to, and the church was about 20 minutes away from home. And on our ride to church, the kids will remember this, that we would put on the whole armor of God in the car on the way. And we'd say, "Okay, God," and the way that I could remember, you know, and get all of the pieces, I would start with the head. I'd say, "Okay, God, I'm putting on the helmet of salvation. And Lord, I believe You and trust You that You bought me on a cross, that You saved me, that You rescued me, and that I trust You for Your salvation. I trust You to be my Lord and my Savior. I'm trusting You that because of what You've done for me, I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be rescued." And when Paul talks about the helmet of salvation, he's not talking about intellectually understanding it's good to understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but it's much better to say, "I believe that He did that for me. I don't know why. I can't understand that kind of love, but I believe He did it for me." You know, when we take up that as a, like I say, when we did it in the car, we actually did it with the hand motions. Now, I was driving, so I couldn't do too much with the hands. But we would say, "God, I'm trusting You. You've saved me, You've protected me, and I'm on my way to heaven as a result of what You've done for me." That's part of the salvation. And what happens a lot of times, our enemy will come to try to tempt us and get us to doubt. Will, you're not a Christian. Look what you did. Look what you said. There are times when we should be testing and saying, "Am I one of His?" But if you know that you're one of His, then the enemy is going to try to get you to doubt that. But the helmet is something that you will put on, that you will say, "Yes, Lord, I believe You for it." The helmet, and I guess in that picture of the scriptures where He's talking about putting on the armor, is putting on something on the head as protection. A lot of times we think of physically the head being something that's where our thinking goes on, and that's where a lot of what happens in our lives initiates from. But in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, Paul says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." He says, have this mind, think like this. "Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." Paul is saying this is how we should think. This should be our attitude. This should be the way that we live our lives, that we empty ourselves, that we are servants of God and servants of His church, of His people. We empty ourselves of our own ambitions, our own desires, and our own wants, and we say, "God, I am Yours. I'm at Your disposal. And You saved me, and I'm Yours now. So have Your way in me, and have Your way. Do things through me, God." Amen. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, of whom I am chief. And but it's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus didn't come for everyone. He only came for the sinners. And those people who don't think they are, they're wrong. Jesus came for all those who need to be rescued from the consequences and the tragic end of sin, which is punishment and judgment and eternal separation from God. And so when we put on the whole armor, we're saying, God, I trust you. It's not about me anymore or what I've done or what I'm doing. It's about you saving me. It's about you taking someone who, as best as I try to follow you, Lord, I don't always do it the right way. But I'm trusting you for salvation. I'm trusting you that there is a place for me in heaven, that you've gone ahead and prepared a place for me, or that you're working on one right now, and that I'm going there. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, you know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. That is the salvation that we have. It's a salvation. It's a costly salvation. Jesus bought us with his own blood, the Son of God, who came and died for us on a cross and bled for us so that we could be saved, so that we could be rescued. When we would put on, going back to the example of in the car with the kids, when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, and Lord, we trust you that today we're going to be able to walk in your righteousness and in your holiness, because our righteousness is like filthy rags, the Bible says in Isaiah. But the righteousness of Christ in me and on me and through me, now that's something valuable. Here he says in 1 John 1:5, and this is the message we heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so a lot of times we would quote scriptures while doing that, and I'd say, Lord, I'm trusting you for your righteousness. It's not what I have, it's what you have. And you are light and there's no darkness in you at all. So you can shine through me and let your light be over me and shining out of me today. I think of a scripture, and maybe I even have it here. There's a time where I think it was Jesus talking, and he said, oh yeah, that men might see my good works and glorify my Father who is in heaven. And sometimes I've wondered, how does that work? If I'm doing good works, aren't people going to look at me and say, you're doing good works? Wow, you're pretty smart, or you're pretty wonderful, or whatever you are. But if people can look at us and say, wow, what an awesome God. And I think that there are times when we need to actually say this and believe this and say, God, it is not what I've got to offer the world in the way of smart words or whatever. Lord, it's about what you have to offer them. Quite often there have been times when I've been talking with someone and I begin to really feel an empathy for them, a love for them, that it kind of comes over me sometimes, and I just go, I know that that's God. And I know that when that happens, the person or people that I'm talking to a lot of times can sense that it's more than just that guy. I know that guy. There's something that God is trying to speak through him. And so, you know, when it comes to my righteousness, it really has very little value. I mean, it's not like I shouldn't try to do the right things and live right and walk right. But it is the righteousness of Christ that is in me and on me that should be flowing out of me. And that's when we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, it's kind of like I'm just putting on something here that is, it's his righteousness. Let me read a couple more scriptures here of those. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. It says here the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You know what? We should be attempting to, or at least have a mind to say, God, I want to walk in your righteousness. I want that to be the righteousness that I'm, that is shining out for me, or that's showing, that's appearing today. Not you, not my own righteousness, but yours. Okay. Let me move on to the belt of truth. The belt of truth. We know, at least I know it to be the word of truth. God's word is truth and strength for us. And, it's kind of a strange example, but I've used it before. You ever seen those guys who lift those big, weights, you know, the barbells that have 10,000 pounds on each side? Well, maybe that's an exaggeration, but they're lifting things that are pretty heavy. They've got this belt on, and I don't know if you know, one of the reasons they got that belt on is so they don't pop an intestine out and get a hernia. And that belt actually is a protection and a help for them as they're lifting heavy loads. And I look at the belt of truth for me as a believer, and I say, God, I need your protection because I'm going to be faced with things that are heavy, things that are hard, things that are difficult, and yet your word is strength for me. And that's one of the reasons that I believe it's so important for us to daily be in the Word of God, be reading it, taking it in, even if it's, well, even the genealogies, okay, the whole thing. But you should be taking in the Word of God because it's like medicine, it's like vitamins, it's like, and sometimes you don't see the instantaneous result of it, but you read God's Word and you take it in and let it strengthen you, let it build you, let it really bring into you some kind of strength to protect you from the enemy's fiery darts. One of the other things that will do, by the way, if you will take the Word of God in on a regular basis, read it, study it, meditate on it, there will be times when you'll hear something that's not right. And the reason that you'll know it's not right is you'll say, well, I was just reading the other day in the Bible and it doesn't say that. It actually says the opposite. There are a lot of times where we can really be avoiding the dangers of error or wrong thinking or unbiblical thinking because the Word of God is in us and dwelling in us and strengthening us. John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know what? We get sanctified, meaning we become more like Christ. Through His Word, through His truth. Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name, thy loving kindness, and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. It's a strange concept, and it's to think that God has lifted up His word even above His name. I think that really it's only phrased like that in the King James Version of the Bible, but it's still talking about the importance and the value of His Word. And I don't know that we can put a designate, well, one's more important than the other. The Word of God is eternally important for all of us as believers. The name of Jesus is important for us as believers, but the belt of truth is something that we put on and we say, God, I'm putting on your truth. I'm opening up your truth and I'm putting it in and putting it on. And not just reading and saying, well, that's nice. It's reading it, believing it, or reading it and saying, I wonder what that means. Lord, show me. By the way, maybe just a little aside here. When you read the Word of God, I think it's important to understand, first of all, the Holy Spirit put this thing together. He gave it to the minds of men who wrote things down over a period of about 4,000 years. This was all put together. A lot of things here, but this is authored by God. He's the one who wrote it. He's the one who understands it. And one of the things that I think is so important is when you read this, is to say, author, Holy Spirit, the one who wrote this, could you explain it to me as I read it? Could you be my teacher? You know, when a kid is in a classroom and something is read, and a kid raises their hand and says, "Teacher, I don't understand. What does that mean?" I think that if we will humbly come to God and say, "God, I want understanding. I want to know what your truth, what this passage of Scripture just said to me, or what it means to me, how it applies to my life, what should I do with it?" It is amazing over and over again how much God will just give you thoughts and give you ideas of, "Oh, that makes sense." Quite often, too, that you'll be reading one thing one day, and the next day you're reading someplace else in the Bible, and you go, "Oh, the light goes on." The Holy Spirit is revealing what that other passage the other day that was a little confusing or you didn't quite understand meant, because now it's in light of a different scripture, and you go, "Now that makes more sense. I get that." You know, you can come to church and you can hear some teaching. Sometimes with Pastor Harry, I may teach you some things, or you might go, "Well, I've heard that before." But if you'll sit down and read the Bible and say, "Holy Spirit, teach me and lead me," it will transform your life. You will gain wisdom that you can't get anywhere else, because the source is God. Sometimes I wonder, you know, and I'm not against education and Bible training and schooling and all of that, but sometimes people put so much value in it that it becomes that if you don't have that, if you don't have a degree, or if you don't have X amount of years of training and education, that somehow you won't understand some of the truths of God's Word. And I'll admit, there are some things in here that are hard to understand. Anyways, you know what, I don't want to get off too much on a subject there, but the belt of truth. Truth is important for us. Truth will help us. Truth will strengthen us. And when a lie comes along, you'll be able to recognize it for that. You'll be able to say, "No, that's not right." You know, when I started out this morning, at the beginning of this message, I said, "No temptation is overtaking you." And I said something about a lie that is being told sometimes, that people say, "Well, I the devil was too strong for me." That's a lie. And again, that's just one thing. There's so many areas of Scripture that they say one thing and the world teaches us something else. People cause us to believe something else. Maybe it's time to start listening to God rather than listening to them. Listening to the Scriptures than the other voices that are out there. Amen. The shoes. Oh, I like the shoes. The shoes to spread the gospel of peace. You know, when we were doing that in the car, we'd be kind of motioning with our feet like we were slipping shoes on. I said, "God, today, I'm going to look for opportunities. I'm going to be aware of the fact that there may be somebody out there who needs to hear about you." To put on the shoes, meaning I'm ready to share Jesus. I'm ready to tell someone. You know, it's a good idea when you're getting up in the morning and things are kind of getting started on the day, to say things like, well, not just say, "God, teach me your word," but, "God, maybe today there will be someone who needs to hear about you, needs to hear about the love that you have displayed on a cross 2,000 years ago. Maybe there's someone that I'm going to run into who is just really discouraged, and they need to know that Jesus loves them, that there's someone out there who really cares." Amen. This passage, and there's a couple other passages in the Scripture, but one in Isaiah here, it says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." And I've often thought about, you know, when I'm putting on the shoes, having feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, it means that I have a readiness. I have a mindset that says, I want to be ready to share. I want to be ready to say, you know, Jesus is good, Jesus is awesome, and to people who are discouraged, or to people who maybe don't know him and don't know how to know him, to say, you know what, Jesus has the answer for your problems. not just here in this life, but your eternal destiny, your future. It's actually all in Him. And having a readiness, it's kind of like saying, you know what? I want to be ready. So if I run into someone today, how many times have you done this? You've been out and about, you've been talking to somebody, you meet somebody at the store. Hi, how you doing? Oh, not so good. Oh, well, that's too bad. I'll pray for you. And see you later. And although that's all right, you know, if we had a mindset to say, you know what, maybe before I even see someone like that today or meet someone, before I run into them today, to have the mindset to say, God, when I do, help me to say something of value to them. Help me to bless them. Help me to be bringing them, well, it says, glad tidings of good things, proclaiming salvation, proclaiming the goodness of God to them, being ready to do that, as opposed to, and then later on you say, wow, I really blew that. I really should have said that. I really should have said this. No, the shoulda, woulda, couldas. But when we're ready, when we put on the shoes to spread the gospel of peace, we're saying, God, I want to extend your peace to those that I'm going to bump into today, to those that I'm going to be with. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This is the promise of Jesus saying, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And he's saying this to them, stay here, wait for the promise, and then you'll be my witnesses. And then you'll be the ones who are bringing good news and glad tidings to those around. That's what it really means to be a witness, is sometimes I think we over-spiritualize stuff. Witnessing, you know, it's like a program and it's a thing to do. But witnessing just says, this is what God has done for me, and He can do the same for you. And sometimes, is, you know, when someone tells you something, you can say, you know what, there was a time when I was in your shoes or having a problem like you're having, and this is what happened, and this is how God helped me. And the Holy Spirit oftentimes will whisper in their ear and say, and I can do the same for you. I know that because that's what happened to me many years ago. I remember seeing people you know, reacting or interacting with each other, believers who were genuinely caring about each other and loving each other, and the Holy Spirit, I didn't know the Holy Spirit at the time. I didn't know that that's what that those thoughts, those impressions were from, but said, you don't have any friends like this. And I went, yeah, I don't. My friends were, when the money runs out, the friends run out. When the beer runs out, the friends are gone. Oh, yeah, thank you, Jesus, for your deliverance. Thank you, Lord. So, I'll just say this, that let your heart be ready to share. Make that an on-purpose sort of a thing. To say, when I'm going out today, I am going to probably be seeing some people. I don't live in a cave somewhere. Maybe I've got something good to say. Maybe God, you've got something good to say, and maybe you can use my voice. Amen. As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. That's from the Gospel of John, the first chapter. But that is a message that we can have for those that are around us. And you know, to those who receive Him, and I think that should be part of our encouragement to say, you know what, I know what you're going through. I know the problems you're having. But I will tell you something. If you'll just surrender to Jesus, you'll ask Him to come in and forgive you, and you turn from your sin and turn to Him, He'll make you a child of God. You'll be born again. You'll come into a relationship with God like something you've never experienced before. And that's what it means to have the feet shod with the gospel of peace, to be ready to share that, to be ready to say that. Amen. The shield of faith, holding up the shield of faith. In the car we would do, in the car, maybe wherever it was, we'd hold up the shield of faith, and we'd physically, like we had a shield in front of us, and whew, here's a fiery dart. It's coming. Boom. It hit the shield of faith. It burns for a little while, but it's not going to do any damage. Because if the shield of faith is up, I'm saying, God, I trust you. You know, maybe some things will happen. Maybe there will be difficulties and problems, but it's not going to do damage. It's not going to destroy me. It's not going to hurt me in a way that that'll ruin my life. Okay. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. From Psalm 3, you, O Lord, are a shield for me. When I'm saying, I'm putting on the armor and I'm saying, God, I trust you. Fiery darts will come. And a lot of times people will say things like, well, you know, the devil threw some fiery darts at me and messed me up again. How about saying, the devil threw some fiery darts at me, but God protected me. And there was a little bit of a struggle and a little bit of a battle that went on in that time, but the fiery dart hit the shield of faith. And the shield of faith says, I trust you, God. I believe you that you're going to watch over me, that you're going to protect me, that you're going to cover me. Again, it's a faith thing. What does God say? It's not what do you think. It's what does God think? What does God say? Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It doesn't say sometimes. It doesn't say could be, might be. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I think probably one of the most powerful prayers that people have prayed over the centuries is, Jesus, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, help me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. We just, everything is so in our face and so big and so hard. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, help me. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And when you believe that, it really will quench the fiery dart of the wicked one. The enemy comes and throws stuff at us, and we say, no, I'm not going to receive that. I'm going to believe God. He said he would take care of me. He said he'd provide for me. He said he'd meet my needs. He said he'd walk with me. He said he would be my shepherd. I either believe that or I don't, but that's what the shield of faith is all about. You know, when the Apostle Paul is talking about this armor, he's given an example of what people recognize, a Roman soldier with all of his armor on. But he's not saying, do something physical. He's saying, believe God. And with the shield of faith, believe what God says. Believe the promises of God. Because that's how you win. That's how the enemy is throwing fiery darts all the time. And the last thing that we need is a fiery dart to be heading our way and for us to be saying, well, I don't know if God's going to take care of me this time. I don't know if it's going to work this time. Yeah, woe is me. It's bad and it's only going to get worse. You know, that's faith too, by the way. But it's not the right, it's not biblical faith. It's not trusting God faith. It's everything is bad and it's only going to get worse faith. If you've got that kind of faith, trust me, that works too. It's going to happen. Sometimes we say things with our mouths that invite fiery darts to come our way. Now, I'm not going to read all of Psalm 91, but I have it here in the notes. Psalm 91 is a psalm, as you read it, you say, God, I trust you. You know, there are some things in here where the psalmist is saying, you know, even though 1,000 shall fall at my side or 10,000 at my right hand, it will not come near me. Isn't that a statement of faith? Even though everybody has got this problem or that problem, even though it's going on everywhere, not me. Now, maybe I should have been doing more of this recently with some bugs and colds and flu stuff, but God is a shield for me. God is a protector for me. Hey, by the way, I'm still able to be here on Sunday morning, so it can't be that bad. Amen. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. I love Psalm 91. But Psalm 91 is not just for anybody and everybody. Psalm 91, it starts right out at the beginning. Who is the psalmist addressing? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. The one who is dwelling, the one who is hanging in there with him, who is walking with him, talking with him, spending time with God. Jesus said, abide in me, abide in the vine. You know, I'm the vine and you're the branches. That's what that means. And these promises that are here are to those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. You know what? When you're abiding and you're spending time with God, and He becomes your overwhelming help in time of trouble, you can look to Him and say, God, You are my refuge. You're the one that I can run to when I'm having trouble, when I'm in a difficult spot. I can go to You. I can trust You. I can trust You, God. Now, I'm going to conclude with the sword of the Spirit, but I think, and I was thinking about this morning as I was praying, I think I would like to bring another message next week specifically about the sword, the Word of God, and the power and the help that it is to us. But let me just read a couple scriptures here. Jesus is saying in John chapter 15, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. Jesus is saying, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will remind you, He will testify of Jesus. Listen, if Jesus is not being lifted up, then I'm not too sure how much involvement the Holy Spirit has. You know, we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the triune God. But the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily draw attention to Himself. He is our teacher and our helper. But His, if we really could understand who He is and what He's about, He's not about Himself. He's not about promoting Himself. He's about promoting and lifting up and magnifying Jesus. Amen. And so Jesus is saying here in this Gospel of John, when the Helper, when the Holy Spirit comes, who he is the Spirit of truth, and He proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. John 15:27, the next verse, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. See, we'll bear witness who Jesus is, and Jesus is talking about His disciples there who were with Him. Skipping to the next chapter, chapter 16 of John. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. Again, the Holy Spirit is the one who declares the truth of God to us, and That declaration comes primarily through the Word of God. And that, again, that's what I want to talk a little bit more about next week. But the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, let me give you another example. And maybe I've done this before. As you're taking in God's Word and you're filling yourself up with it day after day, week after week, and month after month, and you may not remember where everything is, where all the verses are. There may be verses that come to mind. I want to tell you something about what happens sometimes when we remember something. When we remember a verse of Scripture, what that really is, what's happening a lot of times is the Holy Spirit is beginning to remind us of something that we've read. Something that maybe we don't know chapter and verse of exactly where it is, but the Holy Spirit is saying, this is something that you need to know right now. And oftentimes when that's happened to me, I've been, you know, maybe driving along, and all of a sudden a Scripture passage comes to mind, and I'm going, well, I wasn't even thinking about anything about that. But I recognize quite often when that happens, it's the Holy Spirit reminding me of something that I need to dwell on, something I need to pray about right now, because maybe there's something coming up in the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes or next 2 hours or the next day that I need to be aware of, and the Holy Spirit is really preparing me to be able to deal with that situation. I wish I could be more specific. But there are times when I have had a scripture passage come to mind, and a little while later I went, oh, now I know why I was being reminded of that. That's God doing battle with the enemy. He's taking up the sword, you know, he's putting it into our hands, and quite often when we hear God's word, we're reminded of God's word, it is something that is actually physically doing battle with the enemy. You know, when we quote some of these scripture passages, like I just did, a couple of them, you'll not fear the terror of the night or know the arrow that flies by day. You know, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not come near you. A lot of times when we're being reminded of scriptures like that, we're either just about in the middle of a problem or we're about to be faced with a temptation or a difficulty that God sees but we don't. And when we have that scripture in us, we can confront it that way and say, no, God said, you know, thus says the Lord. This is what the Word of God says. Amen. A lot of times when we, as a family, would put on the whole armor of God, and we mostly do this in the living room, but we'd take a sword, an imaginary sword in our hands, and start swinging it. But then I would start quoting, and God was giving me scripture sometimes at that time, and I'd say, 1,000 shall fall at your side, or 10,000 at your right hand, and we'd swing the sword. And we'd say, you know, even though the enemy's all around, he'll flee 7 ways. Yeah, the enemy comes out against us 1 way, he'll flee 7 ways. That was another one of them. But we would quote those scriptures, and we would say, this is what God says. You know, the enemy may come out against us 1 way, but he's going to flee 7 ways. That's actually out of Deuteronomy chapter 28. There's the first half of that chapter is all the various blessings of listening to God and doing what he says. But you'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in your home. You'll be blessed at your workplace. But so quoting the scriptures. And sometimes maybe it's a good idea to even, I should probably do this myself, write down a bunch of those scriptures that have to do with the promises of God that I can look at and say, yeah, that's right. You know, I am more than a conqueror through him who strengthens me. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Trusting what God says. Amen. Now, I know that's this whole armor of God, maybe it's a mysterious thing, but Paul writes it down for us in a way that maybe we can take it step by step. But I want you to maybe spend some time in the Word of God and looking at the whole armor of God, because that first verse that I started out with, you know, no temptation, you know, you can't be overcome by it, but God has given us what we need to overcome, to do battle, to really be victorious, not to be failing all the time. Aren't you sick and tired of failing? All right, well then let's put on the whole armor of God. Let's trust God. Let's believe what he says. Let's do what he says. And allow God to just have his way and do it. Amen. Okay, let's just stand up together here, and I'm going to finish up. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we praise you and thank you that you have given us what we need so that we don't have to fall victim to the enemy and his fiery darts. And Lord, we don't believe his lies anymore. There is nothing that can bring us down, Lord, if we'll just trust you. Thank you, Lord. You'll always make a way of escape. You will always make a way of escape. That's what your word says. And so, Lord, we trust you. We believe you for your salvation. We put on the salvation as a helmet on our heads. Jesus, you died on the cross for us. You bought us with your own precious blood, and you're alive. You rose from the grave, and you've offered us eternal life, and we receive it, and we trust you for it today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we put on your righteousness this morning. Lord, it is not our righteousness, but it is yours. We're going to walk in your righteousness, in your holiness, in your integrity. We're going to do things your way. We're not going to do things the way of the world or the way that seems right in our own eyes, but we'll do them your way, God. Lord, we take up your truth and we put it on, Lord, as strength. We fill ourselves up with your truth so that we can walk as people of God, walking in your strength and in your power, like David did against Goliath. He walked in your truth, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we put on the shoes to spread the gospel. Lord, as we are about to leave this place this morning, we want to go out and be a witness for you and to proclaim the goodness and the love of God to those in a world where there's a lot of suffering, a lot of difficulty, a lot of problems. Lord, we just want to put on your shoes and be ready, Lord, to share Jesus with others. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we take up the shield of faith. We trust you that you'll protect us, that you'll guard us and keep us safe from every fiery dart of the wicked one. No weapon has been fashioned against us that will prosper. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you said you've given us authority over scorpions and snakes and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. Lord, we believe you for that. We trust you for that. And Lord, we take up the sword of the Spirit this morning to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one and to cut down every lie and every imagination, everything that is wrong or ungodly, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have made us more than conquerors. Thank you, Lord, that you will proclaim the gospel of peace through your people by the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to walk in your ways. Help us today, Lord. Thank you, God. Fill us up, Lord, with your word. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.